Mail call!
It's a Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees.
You've got mail.
It is time for our Mailbag Monday. Every Monday at 2 o'clock, we get to your questions about anything. You can ask us whatever you want. Killer Bees might answer. 713-780-ESPN to get your mailbag questions in. Our HR&P listener line, 713-780-3776. Now, most of the mailbag questions that we take are through the text line, 713-780-3776. But Jeremy's on the line. He's got a question for the Killer Bees. So let's go out to the HR&P listener line. Jeremy, you're in the Hive with the Killer Bees. Hello, Jeremy.
Hey, what's up, guys? My question for y'all is, should I get drunk already? Yes or yes?
Yes or yes?
Usually, well, Mailbag Monday, we tell you to ask us questions.
Right.
It doesn't seem like that was much of a question.
Well, give us options, right? Or give us the option to go one way or another or with a multiple choice. But yes or yes sounds like the question's already been answered.
It sounds like the question has already been answered. But in case you are asking for the advice of the Killer Bees, yes.
Gentle Ben.
Vodka, gin, bourbon, whatever you're in the mood for, Jeremy. But great question.
Fine. Go to the Taste of Prosecco technology. Better than anybody else.
Yep.
The fact that it's actually using technology instead just of the human element makes it even better. I mean, and I don't even speak for them. Jeremy does. But that's an option for you that I think you should consider.
Appreciate it, my man. 713-780-ESPN, our Mailbag Monday. 713-780-3776. Who is a better athlete, Blank or Branham?
Next question.
Can't do that.
I mean, you hurt your hip and don't know how.
That's true.
Next question.
I think I'm a better athlete.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. We should set up a little Facebook
Live. Did you see Brendan's reaction where his head went under the table?
I wouldn't say I'm a better athlete. I am an underrated athlete, but I'm
not taking any of your, I've seen your golf swing.
I was more crafty than skilled. Let's put it that way.
I just enjoyed how little Joel took you seriously.
Don't sleep.
I think you're a better athlete than Creighton or Cody Stoops. But I also think that you're underrated. I saw your golf swing. I think you're an athlete.
We got 2 hours and a minute into the program. And first patronizing. That's fine. 713-780-ESPN. Brian asking us,
yes.
Would you rather be Carson Wentz and have your backup quarterback win you a Super Bowl or Matt Ryan and blow a Super Bowl lead? Would you rather be Carson Wentz and have your backup quarterback, Nick Foles, win you a Super Bowl or Matt Ryan and blow a Super Bowl lead, 28-3?
I would rather be Carson Wentz because I was having an MVP-type season till I got hurt, so I would never be fully blamed for whether we lost or won, and I still got a ring out of the deal overall, so that's the way I would go.
I go Matt Ryan. I want to be the dude. I want to be the guy competing in the biggest of arenas, right? Like, I don't want to be the follower of a Super Bowl team. I want to be a significant piece of a team competing for a Super Bowl. So I'll take Matt Ryan over Carson Wentz. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Mailbag Monday. You can call in, apparently. Also, text in whatever questions you have for the Killer Bees. Let's go back out to the HR&P listener line. Mark, what's your question for Mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees?
Oh, yeah, man. I just want to ask y'all, you know, when Sean Watson coming to Houston, who has better stats, him or Davis Mills? All right, take out that. Thanks, sir.
Bye. Okay, so I think he's asking us about the Week 13 game. Between the Houston Texans and the Cleveland Browns, six weeks of Deshaun Watson
to the overall.
I think
stats.
He means that one game. That one game. If I understood correctly.
Well, I hope they don't see another version of Vince Young coming home to light up the Texans and win in overtime. But I'm pretty sure Deshaun's going to be hyper focused for that game.
Yeah,
they have a better team.
Is that your answer?
I think Deshaun Watson will have better numbers than Davis Mills.
I'm going to go with a curveball here. I'm going the other way. I'm going to say Davis Mills has better numbers than Deshaun Watson week 13 in NRG Stadium, and the Browns win the game like 28-7 or 28-14.
Because they're playing from behind, so the numbers are going up.
Garbage stats for Davis Mills. He has a 300-yard passing performance, and they lose by 2 touchdowns. And Kareem Hunt and Nick Chubb run all over that Houston Texan defense.
Very realistic take.
Yeah.
I can see that.
I feel like it was a fair one. 713-780-ESPN. Our mailbag Monday with the Killer Bees, 713-780-3776. What's your preferred steakhouse in town?
Oof.
I know, it's a great question. Such a good question.
The easiest one for me is Vic and Anthony's. Mm-hmm. Vic and Anthony's is just, it was always my go-to, and obviously with Rockets connections even before Tillman bought the team. But and I knew guys that worked there as well, but Vic and Anthony's, hard to go wrong.
Vic and Anthony's is on the short list. I like a good Perry steak. Okay. Perry Steakhouse is very good. And what is it, Del Frisco's?
Uh-huh.
Del Frisco's got a very good steak, too. Man, that's tough. That's a tough question. I'll go Vic and Anthony's. 713-780-ESPN.
Your Rockets credential just got approved, by the way.
Did it?
Yeah.
I didn't realize you owned Vic and Anthony's. I should have known that.
Yeah, actually, it was named after his relative. I believe his dad and his grandfather.
Oh, really?
Vic and Anthony, yeah.
Oh, the more you know. Lamont, what's the difference between a bribe and a settlement? Both seem to be rooted in silencing someone.
One's probably done above board, and the other one is done in other ways.
Well, bribe, I guess.
A bribe is done completely.
It's the same thing.
No, it isn't, because a settlement basically is probably documented and done legally.
Yeah.
And a bribe is done in a dark alley with a suitcase and a whole lot of hush-hush.
Yeah, that's right. That is the answer. That's the only difference, though. But, like, eliminate the shade aspect from it. I don't think there's a difference. You're basically paying somebody off to do what you want.
Probably pay more in a bribe than a settlement.
Yeah. Yeah. Now, a bribe, you can have somebody over. You can have something over somebody, right? Like, I got this picture of you, so don't fire me, Jack Easterby says to Calming there. 713-780-ESPN.
What a great question on text.
Go ahead.
Would you rather Howie Kendrick hit a foul ball or CP3's hamstring never got hurt? That's a great freaking question.
Oh, I'll go the Howie Kendrick.
I'm going to go the same route.
I'll go the Howie Kendrick, because if Howie Kendrick doesn't hit that home run, chances of you winning the World Series probably pretty high.
Yep.
Whereas Chris Paul doesn't hurt the hamstring, you still got to win a game seven, even though Chris Paul's healthy.
And win a final.
And then win a finals, even though Chris Paul would be
and
healthy.
Impactfully, it can say the Rockets would win yet another championship, but more so, the Astros win a championship and do so to kind of squelch all of the negativity of the recent history that came with the cheating scandal. I think it would be more important, and I think it would be more meaningful if you could erase Howie Kendrick's home run.
I'm not sure this is going to be
a
great take.
Question, buddy.
It is a really good question. It's tough, and it makes you think, which we like. 713-780-3776. Look, I'm going to sound like a hater here, and it might be a hot take. I'm happy James Harden didn't win a championship with the Rockets. I didn't want Harden's name to be remembered in Rockets lore alongside Hakeem Olajuwon.
Look, and selfishly, I'm with you, and I worked with him. And I just, of all the superstars that I worked with in my career in the NBA, he was the least likable and the least easy to root for because of just how, just for no apparent reason, he just decided to be an a-hole. And I think so. I can understand why a lot of people would have that thought process, especially when you've come through working with Clyde and Akeem and Yao and T-Mac and all these guys that were really, really, really good. Even Dwight Howard. He's a great dude. He just acts like a four-year-old sometimes, but you could pull for him easily. And it just made it so tough to root for him that, on top of the fact that selfishly, personally, I also never want to see Tad Brown or Daryl Morey win a championship because they actually act and think like they're players.
Would you have thought that before they left town?
What, that I don't want them to win a championship?
Mm-hmm.
I would think that from the day that I walked out the door.
Okay, so it wasn't a Houston-Philly thing.
No.
0707, get married or stay single?
Depends on who you're marrying. If you got the right one, then I highly encourage it. If you have any question marks, I would say take your time.
So get married or stay single from your perspective.
Get married.
I'm right there with you. 6602, serious question. Next year, first rounder will be a defensive player. I'm assuming this is a Texans question.
I was going to say it's not Rockets.
And I'm assuming that it's their first pick that they have. So first rounder next year will be a defensive player for the Houston Texans.
20%.
Whoa. I'm going.
I know who you're thinking, and I think absolutely. That's a possibility, but I just think that we're going to find out so much about the quarterback position, and if we find out just enough about it that they don't get the right pick and they don't end up picking first or second, I think it definitely will be. If it's not first or second, they're definitely picking an offensive position. Uh-huh. If it is first, there is the possibility for sure.
Whoa, really? Because yep. if you're not picking first, then maybe you won a couple of games.
Well, if you won a couple of games, that's what I'm saying. But did you win enough to believe that Davis Mills is your guy? Or, like I said, regardless of how good Davis Mills was, you want competition and you want all your options open. You're going to go off. And maybe it's get another receiver or get someone else that helps Davis Mills.
If this defense next year has Will Anderson and John Grenard on it, I would be over the moon. I would be so excited.
That would be great. And Harris, I think, too, helps.
Yeah, but I'm talking about it from like a wreaking havoc mm-hmm. at the quarterback position. You have Grenard, who's going to be a double-digit sack guy, maybe. And then Will Anderson, who they're calling like
the next. I like this segment, by the way.
What's that?
I like this segment, by the way.
Glad
way
you
go,
gave
fellas.
It your stamp of yeah. approval. 713-780-ESPN, our Killer Bees Mailbag Monday. You can ask us whatever the heck you want. 713-780-3776. 0170 asks, what could Ferrari have done differently for Charles Leclerc to win the Hungarian Grand Prix yesterday?
Earlier pit stop. Definitely would have helped the tires, and with more tread on the tires, I think you had a better chance to win it.
Max Verstappen went from pole position 10 to taking the checkered flag at the Hungarian Grand Prix yesterday.
Max can drive now.
Verstappen, he's a racer.
He is a powerhouse.
Yeah, I watched a couple laps of that race, actually. I love the documentary Drive for
I'm
Survive.
More of a Schumacher guy.
He doesn't currently race.
No, not Schumacher.
Actually, his son does.
Not Schumacher. What's my mind that used to date Nicole Scherzinger that's right up there?
No idea.
Oh, come on. He's one of the premier racers
currently?
In the sport.
You're talking yes. about Lewis Hamilton?
Yes, Lewis Hamilton.
Lewis Hamilton, I think, finished second after starting seventh. I think it was the first time.
Hasn't it been all year back and forth between those guys?
Not this year, no. Verstappen's running away with that. Was last year. Last year they went down to the final
He's the number
race.
One competition for Verstappen.
Not this year.
All right, we've spent enough time.
Not this year. 8664, would you rather spend a year in jail or lose a year of your life? Ocho loves to ask those
jail.
Tough ones. I'd rather lose a year of my life.
Really?
Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Because, I mean, you spend a year in jail, you're probably kind of losing a year of your life. You don't have freedom. I know you can do things in jail and whatever. You can, you know, smuggle in cell phones and things like that. Don't tell
degree.
Me how I know that.
You can finally get on a fitness program.
Yeah. I'd rather lose a year of my life in the back end. I don't want to give up my formidable years now.
Depends on also what kind of jail. If you're in that one of those, like, luxury prisons.
Let's say prison. But, like, you're also a year away from your family.
Yeah, that's true.
Like, a year away from your family, a year away from watching the Astros in their golden days.
Well, they got
baseball.
TV in there.
You think inmates are watching the Astros willy-nilly whenever
Absolutely.
They want? No way.
I do.
713-780-ESPN. If you're in prison right now, let us know if you can just routinely watch the Astros.
Well, they have taste in being allowed to listen to the radio. They definitely should be watching Astros games at night.
All right. Whenever we return, the storylines of the deadline for the Houston Astros, what you need to know, what you want to know next. It's Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, I want to tell you all about the good people at New Brakes. I've been telling you about them for quite a while. Look, if you need your brakes done, you need a brake job, you need brake pads, anything and everything to do with brakes is taken care of by New Brakes. And it's really simple because they take care of everything literally so you don't have to. That means if you go to nubrakes.com, that's newbrakes.com. You can mention ESPN 97.5 in my name. You can save 10% right off the top. But more so than anything else, you're going to save time, which is saving you money, because they're going to come to you to do what they do. And the bullet points you need to know are that they are going to have the same competitive rates as any brake shop in town. They're going to use the same brake parts as any brake shop in town. They have certified technicians only catches, and it's a good catch for you. They only do brakes. Not going to try and upsell you on anything else or tell you where your car is failing in other areas. They're just going to come in, fix your brakes, do it better than anybody else, and move on to the next job. So that means they can fix them in your parking lot at work while you are doing your day by having your meetings, checking your emails, handling your business. You want to do it at the house, in the garage, or in the driveway? Well, while they're fixing your brakes, you can cut the lawn, get that honey-do list taken care of, watch a game, drink a beer. It doesn't matter. The main thing is you're saving time, which is saving you money. Check them out today. Like I said, nubrakes.com. That's newbrakes.com. Mention ESPN 97.5 in my name. Save 10%. But save time, which is saving you money. It's newbrakes.com.
Turn down for what?
Independent thinking, unrestricted opinions. You're tuned in to the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5. Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
409 Taz says, I was in prison and we got to stay up late and watch the Astros World Series games. Game 5 of 2017,
See?
Most importantly. 6602, if you can get any drugs and sex and anything in there, even pay-per-view events. But you got to have your books stacked, though. I didn't realize prison was so nice. Makes me reevaluate some things, perhaps.
I realized that they're not very nice when I used to see some of the mail my wife used to get from people in prison.
What?
Uh-huh.
Whoa. So they can watch the local news in prison.
Needless to say, I don't know if their tracing skills were accurate or not, but they were definitely inappropriate.
They got to keep up with what's going on in the city.
Oh, they were keeping
they
keep
up
with a lot of things,
what's
evidently.
Going on in the city. Major League Baseball trade deadline tomorrow at 5. What do you think the Astros are going to do? 713-780-ESPN. But here are the storylines of the deadline. Let's start with what you were talking about with the bullpen. The fact that the last two games, the Astros have blown leads. Yesterday, they wasted Odorizzi's, brilliant seven-inning shutout baseball, 8 punchies for Jake Odorizzi. And then Stanek gave up the lead. You still win it in extra. Saturday, you had the lead late. The Mariners rally in the 9th, still that victory there. Storyline for the pitching staff. How critical is it, and is it bullpen over starter? Because there was a moment in time when there were some talks that the Astros could trade from their surplus of starters to try to elevate the number two, number three starter in this rotation.
Look, I think it's kind of multifolded for me to be able to change my thought process a bit, and that is because of the fact that Yuli seems to have been resurrected to some degree, that Alex Bregman definitely is more like the old Alex Bregman. Because of the fact that Maldi has actually picked it up offensively for all he brings defensively, that I have less of a concern that this Astros offense could hold its own against anybody in any series. But I do have a concern when you take the Yankees series and this last series against the Mariners against playoff quality opponents and take the A's out of it, because I think that they were just completely looking past them. But I think that of the games that you would have lost or could have lost against the Yankees and the Mariners, it wasn't the starters, it wasn't the offense, it was the bullpen. And I think that that's why, and as you and I dissected it a little bit earlier, I'm not sitting there and saying you've got to have another closer. I'm not saying that you have to replace Presley or Stanek or those kind of guys. Montero and Neris are up there. I think you just have to have more options, because we know in the playoffs you can go out and get a starter a lot quicker than you would in the regular season when you're going to let him try and get a couple, milk a couple more innings out of a guy. And situationally, because it is such a heightened and possibly game-changing moment any time from the time you start the game that you could possibly make a decision like that, you need more guys that you can trust and go to in a moment's notice and not wonder every single time that they have the ball in their hands if they're going to be able to get the job done or throw a strike. So I've elevated it. I think that they should attack the bullpen first and foremost, to me, because I think that you can get a guy that you're not going to have to overpay for, and there's plenty of teams selling bullpen help, that I think would make a bigger difference in this team's chances of winning a World Series.
Well, I'm not opposed to a reliever. It's not the most important thing on my priority list. Now, I've eliminated the starting pitcher aspect of this trade deadline for the Astros.
I would say
like Luis Castillo.
Unless you trade Jake Odorizzi.
Right. I'm not talking about an addition, though. Like,
right.
I could see a couple of subtractions, but from an addition point of view, like Luis Castillo, that was intriguing, but now he's gone. Seattle traded for Luis Castillo. Now there's not really a huge upgrade out on the trade market from a starting pitching perspective. So I think the Astros are out from adding a starting pitcher. Now, from a trading a starting pitcher perspective, I think there's a couple of possibilities. Now, if you trade from the triad of Luis Garcia, Jose Urquidy, Christian Javier, you're looking for a good bat that's under club control, not just a rental. But on top of that, if you trade one of those three, I think you're hanging on to Jake Odorizzi. But if you don't trade one of those three, I think there's potential that Jake Odorizzi could be traded off of this team before the deadline tomorrow. The Cardinals have inquired about him. There was reports that there were several scouts at Minute Maid Park watching his start as well. And let's be honest, if you're not trading those young starters, Jake Odorizzi is currently your number 6 starter. He's average, he stinks, whatever you think of him. Sometimes people put words in your mouth when they talk about that as well.
Not the greatest team guy in the world either.
No, he's not. And he's shown a reluctance to go to the bullpen. And for a start, like if he's your number 5 starter, $7.833333333 million isn't that big a deal for a number 5. but it's a big deal for a long reliever. So he's currently your number six starter. Lance McCullers' rehab assignment ends on August 20th. He's going to be back in this rotation unless there's some sort of setback. So what does that mean for Odorizzi now? He's going to the bullpen. He's taking over Seth Martinez. Why not trade him for a mid-tier prospect? And you also still have Hunter Brown lingering around as well.
You have
who can eat some innings
you
too.
Have a surplus of starters, and I said addition by subtraction based on his attitude. And on top of that, the best case for all worlds involved is if you can move him to the National League, because now you don't have to worry about him coming back and getting revenge on you or going to American League team where suddenly he keeps this thing going and he finds a way to get you out too. And you can just be, you know, rid of him and say, I don't have to worry about next year in that contract if he's going to pick up the option. I don't have to worry about this year and him being a distraction or a problem or him bitching if he doesn't get it where he wants to be and put where he wants to go in terms of being a starting pitcher. And I can move on knowing that I'm not losing something and that there's not a huge void because I still have options to replace his spot in the rotation. One I'm going to have to do, as you mentioned, with McCullers. One I'm going to want to do a year from now as we start the new season with Brown. So I think that I'll be very happy if he finds a new home. It'd be even better if it was in the National League.
The offensive side of things is it's interesting because the offense, if you just look at the numbers to this time right now, the offense is behind where the pitching's at. It's been kind of a mediocre runs per game offense. Some of the peripherals like say good things. Bregman's been a better player. Yuli's been tearing it up for the last 30 days or so. You have one of the best offensive players in baseball, but you also have some holes too. Jake Meyers doesn't look right. He looks like he still might be bothered by that shoulder. He's not throwing it very good, and he can't catch up to any sort of velocity. He does not look good in center field whatsoever. Michael Brantley, you hope, is going to come back at some point, and James Click has alluded to the fact that it's not a season ender, but we haven't seen him in over a month.
Oh, we've seen him on the bench plenty, kicking back with a dip in, talking to the boys.
Yordan Alvarez is very fragile, and fragile so much that they didn't want to touch him yesterday after the walk-off base
hit. Did you see Brantley the other day? He was keeping his arm loose by throwing, but he would not use his opposite shoulder, which is the one that's hurt, to catch the ball. He would throw a mitt on his throwing hand to catch it and throw it with the same arm while he wore a sweatshirt that says everything hurts.
Really?
Yeah.
That's weird.
It's not good.
Yeah, but James Click scoffed at the idea that he'd be out for the year. But there's still concerns in left field, whether it's Brantley, because we haven't seen him in a month and a half, or Jordan, who's made of glass, right? He's fragile. He's injury prone. So you have some like, okay, maybe you can add an insurance bat there for some protection, some insurance. Maldonado, he's been hitting better lately. We know what he does with the pitching staff. He's still under 200 on the year. Yuli Gurriel, he's been much better over the last month. He's hitting close to 300 over the last month. Not with much power, but he's getting on base at a very high clip. When it comes to the offensive side of things, are there certain players, certain positions of need that intrigue you?
Yeah, look, I think that, again, how big is your pie in the sky? How high do you want to go? I still think, and we haven't heard anything all of a sudden in the last couple of days on the Orioles. Otherwise, you thought that they were going to be sellers, and there was the possibility to look at a couple of different guys, whether it be Mullins or be Mancini. I think a guy that plays multiple positions is one option and way to look at it, because you can get a Mancini who can play first, he can DH, and he can play the corner outfield positions. Otherwise, I think the other option that makes it very advantageous to you is a Bell, because of the fact that he's a switch hitter. So now, yes, he's a first baseman or a designated hitter, but he doesn't have to get into the dusty-isms of where he hits in the lineup, because he's righty and lefty, so you can place him anywhere, and he would be an upgrade to what he brings to the table. If it's one of those two guys, I'm more than willing to discuss Urquidy or Garcia. If it's not one of those type guys that's going to impactfully help you in multiple areas, then I don't think that I'm interested in trading one of my surplus of young starting pitchers.
Yeah, for me, for a starting pitcher perspective, when it comes to the Urquidy, Garcia, Javier's of the world, I'm not trading one of those guys unless I have a player with years of club control. So it takes me out of the rental market for Bell, Mancini, Contreras, using those guys. I think you can acquire those guys using some of your other prospects. It doesn't have to be them.
No, and I think that the only encouraging sign, because as we've discussed, it would be ideal if you could get someone that says, I'm willing to commit to you long-term before the trade is made, because now he's not a rental and you know you're going to be able to keep him around. But short of doing that and the fact that it would be tampering and all these other things, at least you hear from a Josh Bell that says, look, I'd be open to a shorter-term contract if it meant being able to stay and play with a winning team, which basically seems like a direct memo sent right to James Click saying, I'm a Texas kid. I want to win. If you put me on your roster and put me in the mix with that group, I'm okay, because I've heard you don't like long-term big money deals.
Come get me. Come get me, right? I don't know if there's a center fielder out there that's really attainable on the market But the Astros' biggest need currently, and this has changed, is center field. Jake Meyers is in a worse spot currently than Yuli Gurriel.
It's number one focus, in my opinion. If it's not going to be, like I said, a Josh Bell or a Mancini, you've got to at least think about addressing center field, because he's digressed too far.
Yeah, Brian Reynolds is a name that intrigues me. Defensively, he's not great, but he can live in center field for a few months, and then you move him to left field next year once Brantley's contract is done. I like the rental bats. I'm just not trading one of my three mid-20s starters with club control for one of those rentals. I like Josh Bell a lot. You alluded to the fact that he's a switch hitter. You can put him anywhere in the lineup that you want, because Dusty Baker can't do his left-right thing with a switch hitter, and it's good lineup feng shui, right? Trey Mancini's intriguing because I like the positional flexibility of being able to play first, being able to play left, so he can kind of fill in wherever, DH, obviously.
Well, and going Contreras from the cavernous Baltimore home ballpark from Camden Yards to where a very advantageous for his swing Minute Maid Park.
His offensive numbers don't look good because of Camden.
Right.
His expected numbers are far better because he wouldn't be playing at Camden. Wilson Contreras is somebody that I like too, because like, I realize you're sacrificing the handling of a pitching staff if you have Contreras, but Contreras' bat plays, I think you can overcome the what you're losing from Maldonado in terms of calling a game. But I also, the people have crushed me for saying this, I think Wilson Contreras can also offer you positional flexibility. He's played some first base in his past, albeit not much. He's played some corner outfield in his past, albeit not much. But he's not some lumbering catcher. Like, he's an athletic dude. I think he could do it. So all of those players intrigue me, but I'm not trading for, you know, Garcia, Javier, or Keedy unless I'm getting somebody with club control.
Roll with me for a second here. I want to go back to the Oakland series, and I know it's a hard and painful thought to go back to the Oakland series, but it popped into my head for the first time then, and I'm curious your thoughts now. I thought about Laureano. I know it's a guy they know very well because he's been in their system at one point. I know it's a guy that, you know, the A's, who knows? I don't think anybody's untouchable on the A's. And I believe that in terms of a center field, athletic, has some pop, kind of a guy with a good competitive spirit as well, that seems to be a tough guy too. But I think he would be a perfect short-term, if not longer than that, fix in center field. I don't know what the trading in division with the A's, because they're done. They should be willing to take whatever they can get. Laureano would be a nice add to me.
Let's hit that on the other side. Also, how will you feel if the Astros don't make a move before the deadline? We'll take your thoughts, your questions, 713-780-ESPN. Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now, from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
Joel was asking about Laureano a moment ago, and we'll ask you this question, too. How will you feel if the Astros don't make a move before the deadline? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Like, I think Ramon Laureano's probably an upgrade right now over Jake Meyers.
I think he definitely is.
He doesn't hit much. 226 average on the year, 310 on base, slugging 408, OPS of 717. I'm not trading a significant piece. Would I run him out there every single day ahead of Jake Meyers if I had him? Yeah. I'm not sure he's much better player than Chaz McCormick, though, offensively. Now he's a better defensive center fielder. He's got a really strong arm, too. I like Laureano more as like an insurance piece, backup outfielder type. Do I think he's better than Meyers? Yes, but it's not like he's going to come in here and automatically be an offensive force for you either.
I'm curious if he sees better pitches in a better lineup, and I'm also curious with every trade of what you'd have to give up. If you didn't have to give up too much and you didn't have to really touch anything in your AAA, and you could basically, you know, give them more rebuild pieces in AA, then I would be more apt to say that would be the kind of ideal deal. You want to unload his salary, they'll take it on, and we'll give you some prospects, but we don't have to do that much. That would be ideal.
Yeah. I mean, if you could bring them in for next to nothing, then it's worth it. That's not a splash for me, right? And I don't know how much of an upgrade it is.
It's more of
better
a band-aid
than Myers. Yeah. It's okay. We evaluated the center field market. We've got nothing else that we can do. Laureano might give us a better chance to win. Probably currently would. Let's go ahead and do that. I could see that. Somebody was texting in 713-780-ESPN. Whatever happened to the Josh Bell trade? Look, it could still happen. My biggest concern about things that we see reported and rumored, those trades usually don't happen. Like, did we see Josh Hader rumored to San Diego? Did we see Luis Castillo rumored to Seattle? Usually there's a reason those rumors exist. It's usually because there's a team that's trading a piece that's putting that out there to Passan, to Rosenthal, to try to kick up interest around the league. So is it possible that Washington did that and then the Astros have an offer on the table, and then if the Nationals get that top, they'll go with that trade. If they don't, they go to the Astros. Sure, sure. But I'm always leery of the things that we hear reported and then all of a sudden act like it's going to happen. Kyle Tucker, well, he's in talks with the Houston Astros about contract extensions. Well, it never got done. There's a reason that it came out after the fact. Things that happen just happen. Like the Yordan Alvarez extension. Did we hear rumors about Yordan Alvarez signing an extension? No, we didn't. We didn't hear rumors of Josh Hader being traded to San Diego, Luis Castillo to Seattle. I am always hesitant and leery after I see a reported player to a reported team. Usually it just happens out of thin air.
I think that if you look at what everybody has said about Click in the past too, he normally does something completely opposite of what's been rumored. So that's a good sign if you're an Astros fan that he is exploring every opportunity. There's no stone that's going to be left unturned, but he's not going to follow the norm of the rumor mill. Mm-hmm. He's going to follow his gut feeling and his analytics to say there's a certain list of guys that's on his whiteboard and on his computer that you have probably no idea Ken Rosenthal or whoever else, Buster Olney or Jeff Passan. But if he makes our team better, all the better that you don't know about it until after the deal is done. So, look, I believe in him. I believe what he did last year made me believe that he knows what he's doing. Now just it's time to go do it, and the clock is ticking.
Ask the question, how will you feel if the Astros don't make a move before the deadline? 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. Someone said they would blow up Minute Maid Park. I don't know if I'm allowed to say that over the air.
You just did.
And maybe we'll red flag that person. 2213 says, if they don't make a move, they inch me closer to checking out on them. I can't continue to pour money into the organization through tickets, concessions, and apparel when they seem to lose players every year and haven't added to the roster in a couple years.
That'd be fine if they also took a step backwards with their record and their ability to make you believe they could win a World Series. But especially when you look at the end-all, be-all, which is Vegas, who still believes they're either the favorite or one of the two favorites to win it all. I can't get on board with that. Like, they're just too good.
I've never heard of somebody checking out a team that has the third best odds or top three best odds to win the World Series. Like, that's usually like a Texans comment, right? Like, oh, this is embarrassment. They've been terrible. I'm checking out on them. There's a team that's been to five straight ALCSs. They've been to three World Series in the last 5 years, including last year, and checking out on them. And look, I know that, Blankers, you said earlier that you'd be pretty ticked off if the Astros don't make a move. If we're doing our show on Wednesday, August 3rd, and the Astros have not done anything, you'll be upset. And, like, I get that. I get that that mindset. Because be aggressive. Go do something. But James Click calling everybody. If he doesn't get a trade done, it's because he's doing what he thinks is in the best interest of the organization long-term. And a lot of people get upset with the long-term, you know, sustained success mindset. They want the go for it, go get it done. Right now, 713-780-ESPN. How will you feel if the Astros don't make a move before the deadline? No moves would be a huge miss. Unfortunately, there are too many holes with Brantley being out. Center field, left field, and catcher are all sub-average hitters. Plus, what are they going to do with seven starting pitchers? Click has to balance the club, even if that doesn't mean getting a Bell-type player.
Look, it takes two to tango. I think that's the other thing that everybody thinks it's so simplistic. Just go out and make a move. Just go out and do what you got to do. But you also can't get fleeced in the process. If everybody believes what you got to do is go get a bat and go get a relief pitcher and then even consider center fielder or catcher, but you don't realize that you don't have a surplus of talent and you also don't want to get fleeced in the first deal or give up too much, even if you're not fleeced, so that you have even less resources to go something else done. It's the right mentality to be as aggressive as we've heard that James Click is being. But he also has enough common sense to realize, I'm not going to make a deal that's good for me for the next 3 months, but really sets me back for the next 3 years. I'm just not going to do it, and I'm all in on that.
He's talked about how they're being aggressive, but he's also talked about how this organization believes in long-term sustained success. So those things can kind of contradict each other, because if you have long-term sustained success as your mantra and your philosophy, which you can argue if that's a good thing or a bad thing, that doesn't always coincide with aggression.
But I also go back to the interview with Randy McAvoy for Channel 2 and for Sports Sunday, where he said that Crane told him, being Click, look, this team has done everything that we asked for them and needed for them to do. Now you go do what you need to do to help them get over the hump and get the deal done, and we'll worry about the future later. And I think that was the first clear sign to me that someone rationally was thinking about the importance of winning another one and winning this year, and then worrying about the future and the next 3 to 5 years and how you make sure that you stay relevant.
Drew on Twitter says, I'd be beyond pissed if they didn't win it all. I'd bash Click for the rest of time.
Especially if they didn't make a move. That's what he said.
That's what he's saying. Yeah, if they don't make a move. How would you feel if they don't make
a
move?
Look, we've talked about this over and over again, and the ultimate is Dan Marino, who got to the playoffs in his first year and never got there again, never got to a Super Bowl again, never got anywhere near it and sniffed it. And you never know how long the window's going to stay open, and you're supposed to capitalize on every opportunity you have to win big. So, look, I understand it if you're a fan and you want them to do something and they don't, and then they fall short trying to chase a series.
Sam says it would be an absolute letdown. Tristan and I will feel like it was a missed opportunity. Should be trying to go all out for the World Series. See, that's kind of the long-term versus the short-term idea. Like, do you just absolutely risk all of the long-term for the short-term? Rick, like, if you just go look at our ESPN 97.5, Brendan posted a graphic, posted the question, how will you feel if the Astros don't make a move before the deadline? It's all of disappointment. Like, very, very few, in fact, I only see one, are the opposite. Like Rick says, make the trade count. A bad move is worse than no moves. If we were playing lights out ball, then a rental would be good. Unfortunately, we aren't playing lights out, so the core has to be producing now. See, like, it's difficult because it takes
two to
tango.
Define lights out. They've been playing pretty damn well for a good stretch of time. I think they were 19-9 in the month of July. But against the premier teams and the playoff-type teams, you've been kicking ass and taking names.
Right. I think the Oakland series could put a little bit of stain
it's
on
a damper,
that.
Sure.
Ocho says that I don't believe the Astros is currently constructed or capable of winning a World Series, so I want them to make a move. That's something that I disagree with because of the point you just said. Look at the Astros' record against playoff teams in the American League. Look at their record against the New York Yankees. And yes, the New York Yankees went out to get Andrew Benintendi. How much does he move the needle? You tell me. They went out and got that pitcher for Chicago, who I love, that sinker slider from downside under. I like pitchers like that. So they have helped their team win. If that made them better than the Astros, I would say if they played a 7-game series right now, Astros-Yankees, flip a coin. Flip a coin.
And don't think that they didn't go get the Benintendi move done and do the moves that they are doing because of the fact that they realize it has nothing to do with the American League East. It has everything to do, and even Michael Kay, the biggest homer in Yankeeville, their TV guy, was saying, there is a team out there that has total confidence and has shown that they beat the Yankees, and they are not afraid of the Yankees, which he said so many teams are, and that was enough to make the New York management, starting with Brian Cashman, very aware and concerned about what the Astros have been able to do and continue to do to the Yankees.
2662, if nothing gets done, it'd be bummed, but I can only assume there wasn't a deal worth doing. Just got to trust Click. And Sari Jeinfeld on Twitter. Look, let's be real. More playoff teams equals more buyers. Astros are bidding against more than usual, and almost everyone is a better farm. I think it's completely possible. No move is made for that reason. The price tags, too, for these buyers that are trading prospects to sellers, the price tag's been high. Like, the value to acquire a player for a contending team has been much higher the normal trade deadlines. 713-780-ESPN, 713-780-3776. If the Astros do nothing by tomorrow, how will that make you feel? I'll kick it around with the one of the Wheelhouse men when we return. Talk to them about what's going on. Texans training camp as well. It's Killer Breeze, ESPN 97.5, ESPN 92.5.
Hey, before we go to the break, tell you about the good people at Apollo Men's Health. Look, you're just trying to win the day, not the Olympics. You're just trying to find more energy in your life and find a way that you can get more out of every 24-hour period of time instead of being tired and wanting a nap and realizing at the end of the day you only got half your checklist done of things to do because you ran out of juice. Well, you don't have to do that anymore. It starts with the good people at Apollo Men's Health. For both men and women, they have hormone therapy, which helps you get energy on a daily basis. They also have the different ways that you can administer it so that you don't have to go to the clinic every week. If you so choose, you can even administer it at home and they can get you the product. If you want to just try and start by taking baby steps and try a B12 shot like I take every week, try that and see if it makes a difference for you too. Also, if you want to get on a workout program, they have everything to get you started, from a full body composition analysis to recovering quicker with HGH peptide therapy. They have answers if you have questions. The biggest thing is make an appointment. Go to ApolloMH.com and sign up for that first appointment, and make sure when you come in there, you realize, hey, first and foremost, most major insurance is accepted. They got discounts for military personnel and first responders. And then more so than that, be honest when you go in there. And when they ask you tough questions, give them solid answers. Tell them what you're trying to do. Tell them the goals you have for yourself and the problems you've been going up against. They'll put you on a plan that works. They're going to get your results. Check them out. Mention my name, Joel Blank, and you will get a free B12 shot or a free body composition analysis on your first official visit, and let the process go from there. They're going to get you feeling better, looking better, and knowing overall you are better because you've gone to see the good people at Apollo Men's Health.
Talking sports with you, not at you. It's the Killer Bees on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5. Now from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Joel Blank and Jeremy Branham.
It's Louis Garcia Day. Louis Garcia's pitching against the Red Sox today. There we go. I was wondering where we at with my Salinas. I'd do anything for Salinas. No Root Sports tonight. No AT&T for the Astros.
Carl Ravitch on the red eye. Yeah. As Granato and the bench had him on in a good interview last week, and he was explaining how he was going to be going from San Francisco
on
the red eye here, and then I believe another red eye to get back to Bristol for the trade deadline special.
Oh, what? Look at that guy working. Can't stand Carl Ravitch.
Wow.
Absolutely cannot stand Carl Ravitch.
That's how you really feel.
I don't. Can you work ESPN, though? You don't work ESPN.
Huh?
You know, you get ESPN going? It's not Apple TV. You can get ESPN rocking.
You're a funny guy.
What were you saying, Stutzer?
I don't enjoy his play-by-play.
Oh, I can't stand it.
I agree with that. I like him in the studio.
I think he's really good in the studio.
He's really, really good in the studio in multiple sports. I don't really care for the play-by-play as well either.
He's very loud about 2017 as well.
He's
very loud.
He's kind of like the inverse of Fowler. I don't really like Fowler in the studio, but I like him.
Chris Fowler's a play-by-play guy with Herb Street, especially. He's a good team.
Yeah, yeah. So I like Fowler on play-by-play, but I don't like him in the studio. Ravitch is like the inverse.
That's
I don't like him on
call.
Play-by-play, but I like him in the studio.
Yeah, that is a
different energy levels, right, too?
Yeah.
I think Fowler's more kind of like librarian-esque, where he needs a little more personality in the studio, but I think he's solid as a play-by-play guy.
It was about 4 years ago or so, right before Corso got, you know, kind of sick a little bit. Yeah. That was kind of like peak game day. Like, they were rocking. Reese Davis had come in. He'd taken over as kind of the guy that's the traffic cop, so to speak. They were getting Pollock a little bit more involved. You know, Corso's in his final
few
years.
Ran it, the pencil and the mascot head ran it.
Yeah, yeah. Still get some gems out of him. Still get some gems out of him, but it's not as constant as it used to be.
He was great whenever he was at U of H. Dropped a little F-bomb there with Carl Lewis. Lee Corso. Here's another thing, Carl Ravitch, a little small nitpick. He's probably listening to us because we're a sister station of ESPN, and he's in town.
And did an interview with the bench
He's
last
probably
week.
Listening. Who's this Branham slappy? He's one of those baseball elitists who thinks he's, you know, just so smart. And whenever they pluralize the RBIs, he says 40 RBI instead of 40 RBIs.
I
cannot stand that.
Yeah.
Cannot stand that. People act like they're so smart that they're saying RBI. They're elitist and elegant, even though it's incorrect.
It's the tallest hill you regularly climb.
MLA, AP, they're wrong, all those people.
I will say, in terms of their overall Sunday Night Baseball crew, I had my reservations when they announced it because you didn't have the big name kind of clout as you did with A-Rod and Matt Vasgersian, who drove me nuts. But I got to give both Perez and Coney their due.
Mm-hmm.
They bring so much to the table in terms of information and stories that I really enjoy what those two guys do.
I just said, you know, I like this crew, and I like Ravitch more than I liked Vasgersian and A-Rod. They were.
I completely agree with that.
Atrocity.
Vasgersian was worse. Vasgersian's worse than Ravitch.
And the Yankees anywhere with A-Rod and Michael Kay is not something. I've kind of sniffed out the Manning podcast from time to time, had some fun. There's not a snowball's chance in hell I will spend 1 minute of my time watching that secondary Michael K. A-Rod.
I turned it on the other day by accident. It was abysmal,
no,
as you would expect.
You. No, thank you.
What was Vasgersian's little saying? Like, Santa Anita or whatever. He says, like, the ships that Columbus sailed over on, like the three of them. I can't even remember. Anyways.
The Pinta,
the Santa Maria. He says something.
The Nina, the Pinta, and the Santa Maria. Yeah. There we go.
He has some terrible, terrible home run call. He's worse than Ravage, if you can believe that. Cody, how will you feel if the Astros make no moves by tomorrow? We're 26 hours away-ish of the Major League Baseball trade deadline. How will you feel if the Astros do not make a move?
I'll be upset, and I'll be upset if they make a move and they're not shopping at the top of the market of wherever they're going. So if they add a first baseman, it's not Josh Bell, that's upsetting to me. They add a center fielder, and it's some slappy we've never heard of who's also in the rotation with the guys they currently have. That's upsetting. You don't go get one of these lefties for the bullpen that's really, really good. That's upsetting to me. So not only will I be upset if they don't make a move, if they don't shop at the top of the market for what they end up getting, I'll be upset as well.
What's more upsetting, the bargain shopping or no deal at all?
No deal at all. No deal at all, because if you're going to not make any deal whatsoever, then you've lulled yourself into a false sense of security that you are okay.
Well, you also know that the fan base is watching this from the perspective of where Click came from. And so because of the fact that you've got an owner that's been willing to open up the checkbook when he knows they're close, if it changed the entire mentality with James Click and he's trying to change Jim Crane's thinking by saying we're only going to follow the guidelines of the Rays in terms of, you know, low cost, you know, minimal effort to go get guys that below the radar people didn't pay attention enough to, that guys could be analytically really successful. I don't think anyone signs up for that in Houston.
No, and I would say this, that if you're a general manager and you think the owner wants one thing and you give him that and that's not what the owner wanted, that's bad news for you. It's part of the reason Brian Gain didn't have a long successful tenure as the general manager of the Texans. He saved a bunch of money one offseason. Cal McNair was like, why did you save a bunch of money? He's like, well, I thought that you wanted that. He's like, no, I was going to spend. You should have signed Tyrann Mathieu. You should have signed these guys. So that would be bad news for Click. And I would hope that James Click knows you're not in Tropicana anymore, pal.
Right.
It doesn't have to operate.
You're not averaging 5,000 people a game and really struggling to put the bottom line together.
Yeah.
The If Cal isn't talking to Gain about the goals of the job, that's failure for the Houston Texans. And if Crane's not talking to Click about the goals of the job, that's
going
a failure.
To this McAvoy quote, but he's on record saying it to a TV outlet here locally. Well, Crane said, go out, do your job to make sure these guys have everything they need.
When we talked to Jim Bowden last week, he said that was invaluable as a general manager to know that the owner had your back and you were ready to take swings, because then you could take a big swing. You could take a medium-sized swing, but you could get a little risky with draft or with trade conversations, because you know the owner has your back on, regardless of if it works out or not. So I thought that was a really good comment from Bowden when we talked to him on Friday. So we asked him about that. I was like, how important is it that the owner tells you, go? And then Bowden was like, it's invaluable. You love that as a general manager, because then you know that you have the ability to go make a mistake. You don't have to worry.
Freedom instead of being hawked and then criticized after the fact.
You don't have to worry about this trade costing you your job or something like that.
How far are you willing to go? Because it's very easy to say, go get it. Go shop at the top of the market. Would you trade one of the three starting rotation guys, Urquidy, Javier, Garcia? Would you go as far to trade one of the three for a rental?
No, I would not trade one of those three for a rental. I would find some other deal, and I can't imagine that the Nationals are going to stand pat and just say no, 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 no on Josh Bell. I'm not really interested in the Wilson Contreras conversation. Maybe there's a different center fielder than some of the, you know, that's a shorter.
Would you be all right with Laureano?
Laser Ramon? Yeah, I'm fine with that.
I kind of liked it.
I'm fine with that.
He doesn't hit much.
I think in a new setting for him, a fresh start coming from the armpit of Oakland.
He fought the Astros once. Remember, he tried to run into the dugout.
That's what I'm saying. He's feisty. He came from the Astros system. I think he could actually help.
That feels a lot like Carlos Gomez.
Ooh, don't say that.
That feels like that kind of mentality. I don't know.
Gomez just was a goofy baseball player, though. Like, he did some really stupid things on the baseball field.
He was really good for a window of time, but by the time they got him, he wasn't anymore.
It infuriated me to no end when he would screw himself into the batter's box when he'd swing and miss. Like,
the helmet would pop off every time. Yeah. Would it help your thinking any on Josh Bell if he came out and had the quote that he said, which just seems to be right down Astros alley, of I'd be okay signing a shorter term contract if it meant that I was with a winning team, so that he's a rental-ish, because Texas kid too, might want to stay with you.
Man, I'd be interested to know what the Astros long-term thought about first base is, and if a commitment to Bell makes it harder to make a commitment to some of these other guys that I want them to re-sign, like Fromber or Kyle Tucker. I would imagine not. I don't know that he's
because Yuli's day is coming. I mean, he's just so long in the tooth already. It's you
last
know it's
year
a year or two.
Too.
Yeah,
yeah. So yeah, I don't think you need to worry about an extension with Bell. I think you get him, but I'm not trading one of the three current starters, one of the proven guys for Bell. No,
Cody, what was your biggest observation of Texans training camp today?
Nico Collins has some juice to him for this season, and obviously he was an important part of the situation heading into the season, but when John Metchie's diagnosis came out, there was a little bit more even pressure on Nico Collins. There's not any significant talent at the wide receiver spot behind Brandon Cooks. So Nico Collins is going to get those opportunities, and him and Davis Mills have seemingly worked a ton this offseason. They were working in some of the – when they the rest of the team was doing special teams, Nico Collins and Mills working on contested catches where Mills has to kind of throw it over like this this barrier, has to like drop it in there. And like Nico's making toe touch one-handed catches in the corner of the end zone and making it look easy. And I'm just like, okay, there's a little bit of something here in Nico Collins. He looks fantastic from a physical standpoint. He's changed his body. The route running's really crisp. I'm excited for Nico Collins, and I was excited for him going into the season. I'm even more excited after today's work.
My biggest observation is why these boomers have actual legal pads instead of just typing notes on their cell phone. I find that very bizarre. What's coming up on the Wheelhouse today?
Oh, it's a scientific fact that if you write something down, you remember it better than if you type something down. We have Tony Grossi coming on at 5:30 to talk about Deshaun Watson. Obviously, big conversations about that. My 11 observations. And Laremy Tunsil should put all your fears about the rushing attack to bed with the comment he made today.
Dog?
Not dog.
High five.
Close to short, but not dog.
All right, that's it for us. Thanks to Brendan for doing all the hard work. He's Blank. I'm Brandon. We'll talk to you tomorrow, Houston. Jake Asman or no Jake Asman? No Jake Asman. You can listen to The Wheelhouse 3 to 7 on ESPN 97.5 and ESPN 92.5.